for the Metro Council for June 1st to order. Note that we are all here. And I have no blue cards for citizen communication, so if there are no citizens to communicate, let me first of all start the meeting today with this kind of this statement. Last week at the Max, Hollywood Max station, a horrible racist attack happened on our community. And I would like to start today's council meeting with a moment of silence to honor the victims of this act of terror that occurred in our region. We keep all five people, those who lost their lives and those who were physically, spiritually, and mentally wounded, as well as their families, in our thoughts. So would you join me in a moment of silence? Continuing this moment of silence in a more physical way, tomorrow the Metro region will join TriMet at 12 noon as it pauses its operations in gesture of respect for those who experienced this tragic event. I encourage everyone to join Metro and TriMet in this expression of support for the victims of tomorrow. I would also say, just on a personal level, that I have even higher regard for Mayor Ted Wheeler as we completed a 10-hour flight across the Atlantic Friday night and Saturday morning. We heard about the tragedy while we were in mid-flight, and Ted made the decision while we were flying that he would catch that plane back to Portland in order to be here because he believed that this is where he should be, and I think it was a good call. But what it meant was the hour from the time the plane landed until it took off, he spent going through passport control and back through security, and then did another 10-hour flight back to Portland in order to do that. So I think he's to be commended for that, and that sense of responsibility is remarkable in this day and age, and I think it sets a good tone for the future of his term. So congratulations to Mayor Wheeler, too, on that. Presentations. So Greater Portland Sustainability Education Network 2016 and 17. We have a couple of people to make a report. Kim and Lynn.
You both. For having us. We have not seen each other. Well, I've seen you at events, but we haven't seen each other since 2015, and we gave you a report when the UNESCO chair was with us, Charles Hopkins. So if you by chance remember that, this is our opportunity to give you the update since then, and we've made a lot of progress. So my name is Kim Smith, and I'm the director of GIPSN, although I'm actually the, well, I'm going to go there for just a moment, the outgoing director, and I'll be introducing Lynn Harmon Walker, and I wanted you all to have a chance to meet her as our board president and also our incoming director.
I'm Lynn. I've actually been with GIPSN for a while. I stepped down from an international environmental, I was the dean of the environmental law program at Pace University in New York. Although I was a Portlander for many years, I took that as my pinnacle job for my career. And I actually trained students in UN environmental diplomacy. But I was thrilled to come back to this organization, which is my favorite organization, because of its international connection as well as its deep roots in our community here. So, and I also want to mention that for years in my courses, I have bragged about Metro. And you have actually been a shining light to students that I've taught from all over the world in the way that our communities work together, and Metro has such a light and intelligent hand on the kind of interdisciplinary governance of all of our region, and carries it gives our region a justified reputation for environmental sustainability. So thanks for that. And Ibrahim is not here. He's our go-getter. He's a junior.
He's a 17-year-old at Muslim Education Trust.
Yeah. he told us sadly that he couldn't make it because his teacher wouldn't excuse him from his test today. We thought about appealing, but it's okay. You'll meet him sometime, for sure.
And we'll speak on his behalf, but do understand that that's why we wanted to make sure his name was still on the slide, because he contributed to the presentation.
Yes. Okay. So, I think you all maybe know Gibson already, but just to rehash, this organization is founded under the auspices of the United Nations University, which is the branch of the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization that carries out educational programs for sustainable development. And our motto is Educate, Empower, Engage. And we were recognized as a regional center of expertise in the global community by UNU in 2013, thanks to Kim's hard work. And this is our mission. And I think it's important to understand that we're a collaborative network. It's not just an organization with, you know, one thing, but really a collaborative network that synergizes the work of and enhances our collective capacity to educate, empower, and engage.
Across sectors.
Across sectors for a sustainable future, including not just formal education, such as colleges, universities, K-12, but also all kinds of informal education. The UN recognizes that informal education is going to be essential to a sustainable future, so that includes things like cultural knowledge that's being passed on in our communities. It includes corporate governance. It includes Metro's work in outreach to the community.
Conservation education with all of our nonprofits in town, workforce training, and public awareness and campaigns with the media as well. So it's a broad definition of education.
And these are all the regional centers of expertise in the world. And Portland is sort of emerging as a leader nationally and internationally. Both Kim and Ibrahim and we've recognized, we've received awards at the UNU for sustainability work. And we could not do that without not just Metro, but all of our partners working together. And again, it's the collaborative network idea that, you know, we're sort of bringing it all together and helping solve problems. Okay.
And there are 154 around the world up to this January, and 5 in the United States.
Yeah. Okay. So we are working right now on the Sustainable Development Goals. Rio Plus 20 in 2012 was the 20th anniversary of the UN Conference on Humans and the Environment, and was really a pivotal conference. Many sustainable development ideas were developed then. At Rio Plus 20, they were amplified. We'd already gone through, okay, I'm going to sound like a teacher now. I got to stop. We only have 20 minutes. Okay, never mind. Let's just say this is the success. Sustainable Development Goals are the successor to the Millennial Development Goals. All the countries agreed to them in September 2015 at the UN. So there are 17 universal goals, but 169 targets. So this is very specific. It's not just, oh, let's all save the world or whatever. It's in specific ways that we really need for a sustainable future. And it's relevant not just to developing countries, which some of my law students thought, oh, well, sustainable development, isn't that in Africa? And it's like, no, we need it here as well. The basic premise of the goals is that we're protecting people, the planet, and our prosperity through partnerships and peace, because it's hard to get anything done when you're under attack, right? So, and these are the goals. The UN has a really nice graphics department, so they put out these goals. By 2030, the world community has agreed to try to eliminate extreme poverty, et cetera. One of the goals that was in the news today is number 13, climate action.
Cutting edge news, right? Hot off the presses.
Yeah, right off the presses. Well, it just really highlights how, in the absence of some federal leadership, that communities or cities and regional governments are going to have to come to the fore and take a lead, laboring oar in this endeavor. Okay. On to you, Ken.
Handing over. I will just emphasize that in recognizing the 17 goals, that the top six are social, like we said, people, planet, prosperity, and
The second are more economic infrastructure types of questions, you know, development around transportation as well as infrastructure. And then the rest are the environmental. So in terms of making sense of that, you have that in your handouts. So, well, mine's blue, but you have the five Ps as well as the sustainable development goals. And our next section, which is what we as an RCE, we are known internationally as RCE Greater Portland, so sometimes you might see that, but Gypsum is our local name. And we chose that purposefully, so in the name itself, you'd see the mission. We're a network using sustainability education to create a Greater Portland. And the four counties, we've included Clark County in that, but it's the same, it's the metro region because we were looking at the data of what are the regional challenges and needs that we have, and how can we help support increasing collective impact by working with you and working with partners in our region. And so as wild as it is, of 169 goals, this is the one we are charged with, 4.7. The UNU has asked RCEs and UNESCO has asked RCEs around the world to please advance sustainability education around our lifestyles and practices, but also human rights, gender equality, peace, nonviolence, and they've added in global citizenship. So, you know, no pressure. Like, okay, we're going to do all these things, right? By 2030. And of course, an emphasis on diversity. But what we really have also established is that we can't achieve any of these goals without education, right? Without public awareness campaigns, without people understanding the message and the work that you do. So we're trying to really be purposeful in thinking about how do we advance a sustainable future through having knowledgeable citizens who feel empowered that they can make a difference and identify ways to engage. So we want to think about how we can help our region, and this is a question for you, like how can this support your work? And Tom, I believe you spend time in Japan, correct?
Yes.
So you'll recognize, can you tell how Japanese this little symbol is? It's so cute. Anyway, so ESD was, they reasserted this effort in Okayama, Japan, and that's what, when Chuck was here, he was explaining that. But we really recognize, we just met with our partners at Intertwine. You've worked closely with the Intertwine Council. So this morning we were talking about the abundance of sustainability organizations we have in the region. The question is, how do you create a container big enough to connect the dots, right? So we're not working in silos, so we can leverage scarce resources and hopefully support collaboration rather than competition. So these are not necessarily new ideas, but it is really, it's, these are social experiments, right? For us to, how do we create a better community? What does this look like for us to share the workload, take some weight off our shoulders, and then also support not just youth, but all ages. How can people engage? And what kind of development, leadership development, professional development do we need to achieve these goals? So UNESCO gave us a plan, gave us a roadmap. Since I think most of you were at that talk, this is just a, this is really the report on what we have achieved in relationship to the GAP. Okay, so this Global Action Program. So you also have the GAP on your handout. We have a report in there as well. So I just want you to know what the priority action areas were and what we have achieved since then, and then to help and to invite you again to think about how can we align with some of these initiatives so we're not working at cross purposes. We certainly want to be aligning with what your goals are and your vision, right? And so the GAP, I actually represented higher education at Rio Plus 20 and then also helped write the GAP for the United States. So it was submitted at the end of 2015. And we are just even getting to the point where people are starting to ask for reports and doing data. So we're starting to, again, collect this. These are the five priority action areas, which are, again, on the handout. And so I just want to highlight what we've been doing to advance policy effect, transformative environments, that's whole institution change, trainings, and then empowering youth, as well as working at the local level to support communities. So here you are, right? Your own Climate Action Plan Progress Report. And these are things that I bring when, and she's, Lynn represented us at RCEs of the Americas. I've gone to many of the global meetings. I'll bring your reports. I'm trying to always say what's happening in Portland, because they always ask, like, how are you guys getting so much done? Like, well, we already had the models set up, right? Other regions are having to build from scratch. So they're trying to replicate from some of these models. Port of Portland's one of our partners now. ASHE, if you're not familiar, they're the Association for the Advancement of Sustainability in Higher Ed. So STARS is a reporting program that people use as a scorecard, higher educations, to say, what are they doing? and how is this being integrated into their missions and strategic plans? So both PCC and Portland State participate in that. You obviously are the experts on this, so I don't need to really go into this, but thinking about operations and construction and energy, waste reduction, and transportation systems are key in terms of designing systems, but we also want to think internally, what are our hiring practices, right? What are our accreditation practices that would be more supportive of a sustainable future? We've been doing a lot of work to build capacity over the last several years. So we have a think tank, actually, and a lot of different fellows and researchers. And so we hosted a symposium in January highlighting cutting-edge research that's happening in our region. That's the top picture. And we also have worked with some eco-psychologists. I don't know how you guys are all doing in terms of your mental health with the stress of sustainability, okay? The stress of sustainability issues, but these lovely eco-psychologists came in and created trainings on how to have hope and resilience around issues of sustainability and then how to face climate change. So those are two new workshops and curriculum that we have available, actually, if you ever would like to. We can do training on that. But we did a pilot project with college students thanks to PCC funding that curriculum development. We also want to thank you for the grant. We were on a Metro grant to advance environmental education leadership development. So we've just wrapped that up this last year, so thank you for that. How do you build capacity fast enough? We don't have enough students trained to meet the demand, or excuse me, teachers trained to even meet the demand of students and industry. So we're just trying to scale up. And then the fourth goal, empowering and mobilizing youth. This is obvious, but we have developed a college and youth network, so all the higher education institutions now are part of the network, so they can have events when we do trainings for them, and then Ibrahim again runs the youth network. I'll pass that to Lynn to explain a little more. But our nonprofits and our civic engagement and service learning programs try to emphasize this. How can we help the youth get involved and become leaders in our communities and in their courses? Let me give this back to you.
Okay. So we're part of the global RCEs, and there's an RCEs of the Americas, and the youth network is really important in both. Ibrahim is involved in both, and in fact, the UNU asked him to apply as a youth leader for them. So knock on wood, he gets that job by the time he gets out of high school. I don't know. So the youth network is high school kids, basically.
Middle school, too.
Mm-hmm. And oh, yeah, there's some in middle school. I forgot about that. And they get together. Like last year, they planned a sustainability social. It was an ice cream social with sustainable ice cream. Mm-hmm. And it was a special ice cream made just for Gypsum with elements that were like the earth and the water and all that stuff. Anyway, so these youth are connected with each other. Ibrahim is trying to connect them electronically as well. And there are annual meetings of both the global RCEs and the Americas RCEs. I was privileged to go to Brazil last fall. I'm up in a tiny part of the top right picture.
The Curitiba picture.
And Kim's in the one below that somewhere for Grand Rapids, was it? Anyway, so we get an opportunity periodically to meet with all of our colleagues around the world. And we really are in a privileged position here in the United States. But especially in Portland, in terms of the resources that we have and the will to actually have a sustainable future here. The people, you don't have to keep reinventing the wheel. So Ibrahim is in several of these pictures. He has really cut a swath through the RCE community, and we expect him to be a young leader once he gets into college. And let's see. Yeah, okay. That's probably enough about that, but the youth network, we're trying to build that network so that more youth can become involved.
Yeah. And that's something, if that's something that's a priority for Metro, we just wanted you to know so we can try to tap into that and have you guys get connected. I do want to point out he represented us in Indonesia.
Yeah.
So that's why you see the beautiful temples there. Okay, so just wrapping up a couple final slides. This is priority action 5 of the GAP. And so there, again, that thinking globally, but also thinking locally and acting locally. So we've been trying to support a lot of community-based learning and civic engagement. We work with Hands on Greater Portland. We work with Northwest Earth Institute. I imagine you guys did the Eco Challenge, didn't you? I saw the number of people in Metro had a team. Anyway, in the fall, they have a very large international engagement project about changing habits. And citizen science, we're just trying to connect into what can we do across regions, not experts. Everybody has to be a college professor. That's not what we're calling for. It's like, how do we all have something to teach each other, right? And we all have something to learn. So trying to advance those partnerships and also support that think tank. So if you guys have questions you want a think tank to gnaw on, you know, we can send them that way. And then this is our final part of the report as well. And this is you. So you have the annual report in your handout as well, the 2016 report. It has more detail. But these are the things we said to UNESCO we would achieve. So number one, you can see, hey, we just achieved it. We're here with you right now.
That's not the only reason we're here. But
no, it's important. We did. We met with you guys. We met with City of Portland. But it's just good. It was important to us to really follow through to see you again. Obviously, in goal two, really advancing, we're trying to improve our relationships and connect more with private industry. We haven't done enough there. And we already mentioned the trainings on the symposium. And then we're doing more with AISHI on the regional level to do faculty workshops. And you've already heard about the networks, but the Pen Pal program, Jocelyn was also not able to join us. She's an elementary school teacher. She also represented us in Indonesia. So she's created an international pen pal program. So schools around the world are getting to know each other and increase cultural diversity information. It's been really fun. And then I mentioned these last two. So there you go. You see that we made those commitments. We've tried to achieve them. I think we've done a good job, and I hope that you're happy with that. And then really in the final piece is for all of us to ask the questions, how can we increase our voices? How do we tell our stories? We've done a lot of tabling. You can obviously, your partnership with the zoo, it's hardly a partnership, they're your agency. So the New Education Center, we're excited to be a partner with them. The radio shows, if you never pay attention, I don't know if you've ever heard Shades of Green at KPSU, it's a really great radio show on the Portland State radio station. And then there's we have a newsletter, Facebook page, Twitter account. So if you want the most current information, I'd recommend getting onto those links. And then an invitation to you. The last piece is in the handout in your packet is a press release for this Saturday. By chance, I know it's a busy weekend, but this is World Environment Day. Most people around the world, actually, we celebrate Earth Day more often in the U.S. Around the world, they celebrate World Environment Day. And Portland hosted that in 2013 with UNEP for the global event. So we've been doing this for multiple years now. That this one, we decided to focus on the Sustainable Development Goals. So if you wish, from noon to 4 over just right up the road here at the Hawthorne Hostel, we're going to highlight our organizations around the region who are meeting each of the goals. So from peace to water, hunger,
all 17
goals, health, they're all going to have groups from those. So you're invited. If you'd like to speak, we have a great band, we have stage, invite you to do that. But same thing, how do we amplify, how do people hear good things that we're doing rather than on the international stage hearing the bad things we're doing? So, and then just finally, the big question, not only how do we tell our stories, how do we increase our collective impact? So these are just seeds for you, and we ask your advice. How do we align initiatives? How do we advance policies? How can educational tools help you achieve more of your goals? We'd like to synergize more partnerships in the region, and understanding and respecting, connecting with diverse voices that perhaps have not normally been at the table. Thinking about ways to engage throughout the region, one of the things that it was actually Grant Spickelmeyer who wrote the letter when we applied to be recognized as an RCE. So that partnership with Metro has actually been from the beginning, but we'd like to talk about how do we renew that partnership and how can we make that fresh and advance some of the broader collaborative goals with Lynn in the new leadership role. Okay. So this is PCC's motto, but we're all in this together. You know, we can say America first, or Portland first, or Metro first, but we also want to think about what does it mean for us to live together? right? And so a little 9-year-old, I love this story, she said, gosh, we're always measuring our footprints, right? What we do wrong, our carbon footprints and all that. She said, but I have hands. How can I increase, you know, what can I do? How can we measure our handprints? So there's a whole other metric, right? Like, how can we increase our handprints? And I really believe in the collective impact model and networks. Network analysis shows that it works, but it just takes a very purposeful, intentional partnership model to help it happen, okay? So to achieve that, we'd love your comments, questions, ideas. We've given you a lot of information, but I hope that's you don't feel overwhelmed.
No, it's very nice to hear this, and very timely today. I mean, it was almost like we knew that the Rose Garden speech was coming and scheduled you in as the anecdote.
There's hope. We watched it right before.
Yeah, me too. And the thing that I heard, and based on some of my experiences, both in this job and when I was out as mayor of Hillsborough, is this the mistaken view that many leaders have that it's a question of jobs or the environment. And that in order to get jobs, you have to sacrifice environmental efforts. And Oregon has made a serious commitment to preserving the environment that has left us a very unique image in the rest of the world. Metro proudly contributes to that image. And as I've gone to Japan in particular on business trips, representing City of Hillsborough and then the region in general, led by Prosper Portland's project called We Build Green Cities. The economic advantage that we gain from having an image of being a green community benefits us in greater tourism. It benefits us in terms of greater academic interrelationships. We get more students who want to study environmental issues in Oregon than in a lot of other places. And part of that, and that also contributes as if they were export commodities. We also export a bunch of services to Japan in terms of architects, engineers, people who are used to working on green construction practices in Portland and carry those green practices around the world. And we are rapidly beginning to get a reputation as the place that if you want to build sustainable buildings, then there are architects in Portland and engineers in Portland that can help you do that. And that, again, is another great export product for us. And finally, we have received in the last few years a number of direct foreign investments from Japan in the form of food companies who, relying on Oregon's reputation as a place that takes food purity and environmental issues seriously, is a good place to set up a frozen food factory, for example. Bring the products down from eastern Oregon, particularly the beans that are grown in eastern Oregon, down and process them into frozen TV dinners for the Japanese market. And that's happening out on Swan Island today. So all of those things contribute to jobs in the Portland metropolitan area and to a healthy economy in the Portland metropolitan area. And oh, by the way, they happen to be the right things to do. So the fact it's kind of the old cartoon quip, I think, of what if we discovered that we'd done all of these good things and that climate change was a hoax? And that's the good things that we're doing here have helped us with our economy. And so that may be a lesson that we'll have to learn and relearn at the national level, but we certainly are good for doing that. Your message of collaboration and your message of joining all of these goals together is very important for us, and it's very consistent with the approach that we take to this also. So
Yeah, I'm wondering if you've even done a scorecard or a mapping to the SDGs yet. It'd be interesting to do that on a metro level to check our plans and see like who's achieving what. We spent time in our planning for the Global Goals Fair. We were highlighting who was doing what in the region, but it'd be interesting to combine and the you know kind of overlay the plans and see what matches.
Mm-hmm. That might be a good thing to do. It's above my pay grade, but so Councilor Chase.
Well, I just want to, I really appreciate President Hughes' comments about, these are job strategies we're talking about, long-term job strategies, sustainable job strategies. I mean, and that's what I think in all this conversation about the Paris Accord has been resounding, and, you know, economist after economist will tell you that. Now, we're still may see that some folks that doesn't resonate, and we take steps back as we did nationally today, and it just reminds me how we can react. We can react by accepting that, or we can double down on our efforts. As we've had to say time after time after time in the last 4 months, we've just got to double down and do what we can locally. And so this, you know, to me is really motivating to see that we are continuing to do that work. And I think we're going to continue to see some steps backwards in places where it's so important that we don't take steps backwards. But ultimately, I think we're going to continue to take those steps forward. And it's going to be these kind of efforts that do that. And so I really appreciate the work that you're doing. And as you're doing this, I see that you're making connections with our zoo program and Metro and the work that we do. And I see us at Metro needing to do a lot more on our equity front, but really making some progress in terms of engaging youth and youth of color in some of our program work. And I think where you're finding those partnerships and helping people who are feeling inspired to do more, giving them avenues to do more. So if you're somebody who's been engaged in conservation issues at the zoo and you want to continue to do more on that front, where you're finding places to help plug people in, I think that's great. We have had other partnerships with SCI, for example, and we have had children come in and share their experiences. You know, spending a week for the first time getting out into nature and coming back and testifying to us here. They want to be a Metro Ranger one day. So it's really inspiring to see that. And then where we can be thinking about and working with you to say, hey, here's maybe you'll be a Metro Ranger one day. Here's some other options, too, that you can continue to do this work now and be engaged. And so if we're finding and looking for places to do that with you, I think that would be a productive place to spend some of our time and energy.
We have so many people who are interested in volunteering and being interns, and it's actually a question of more capacity. How do we do the operational capacity to help support that? Again, it's not necessarily above my pay grade, but it is above my capacity grade and for 4.5 years of trying to do this and teach at PCC. So I will say in terms of my support, while Lynn is coming in as the new director, I'm just taking a sabbatical. I'm moving with my partner. He's he's with U.S. Fish and Wildlife in Hawaii.
Your sacrifices are appreciated.
I'm inspired to follow you.
Please! I turn 50 next year. I'm going to have a Hawaii 5-0 party. Come on over. But, he's the planner for the big National Marine Monument. So we're hoping that's not going to be put on the chopping block either. But I'm serving as a mentor for United Nations University now for RCEs around the United States. So I'll be helping RCE Hawaii get started. And we're working also with University of Hawaii and their East-West Center. I'm trying to strengthen the U.S.-Asian sustainability efforts there. So I'm still serving as an advisor, and I'm here. I didn't want you to think it was like, bye. I'll be coming back after 9 months.
Yeah, we're really good communicating with each other, even in Hawaii. And I will take that idea very seriously and plug it into our program. And I'm planning to amp up our volunteer engagement. It's flooding in, so we just want to make sure everybody's got a place to land and do some good work.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments?
Councilor Dirksen.
Yes, thank you. We have so many programs and projects that directly address many of your goals and issues. And I actually wrote down some notes. I'd like to mention a couple, well, four. One is the state required us to come up with the Climate Smart Strategy as a way to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from transportation by a deadline, 2035. Mm-hmm. And as we work through that, we've come up with the strategy. We have the plan, but we still have to implement it. Mm-hmm. And each year and a few years, we review our project list and goals for transportation. And we hear from lots of folks about what we ought to do, but their perspective tends to be on transportation more than the environmental impacts of it. So I think that would be a place where your voice would be welcome to hear when we're making plans for investments, how best to do that. Also, as you may know, we're in the process of a solid waste roadmap to determine what we should do with solid waste over the next century or so. We have an opportunity right now because a lot of our existing contracts expire in 2019. Yeah. So we have a chance to do lots of new things or different things, and we're trying to decide what those are. How do we reduce waste? How do we reduce the amount of waste that goes into landfills? Mm-hmm. What else can we do with that? Where's the value? That was one of the issues that I saw that you had was one of your goals. So that's another place where we would embrace your involvement in that as we have those discussions. Then with regard to, you were saying that you wanted to increase the amount of involvement of the private sector in the business community. Mm-hmm. And I would hope that you have been able to identify some groups with whom you can work. Greater Portland, Inc., of course. Also, Clackamas County Business Alliance, Westside Economic Alliance, all of these are very active in the community, and I think this is, sometimes they're casting about looking for something to be involved with, and I think you guys have there's an opportunity there to engage them in those. And then finally, also your desire to empower youth. What was the other thing? It was empower and mobilize. Thank you. When I was the mayor of Tigard, I created the Tigard Youth Advisory Council as an advisory council to the city council. And it's still running, still going. And since then, or even some before that, there are many local communities who have such a council. And so you already have youth in middle school and high school who are already self-identified and wanting to be involved in their community. And so I think there's a fairly easy way to link in and find out who those folks are. And I think if you shared with them your vision, that's something that they would eagerly get involved in. So
thank you. Yeah, definitely.
So those are my four.
Thank you.
Councilor Collette.
Well, and I wasn't going to get as specific as my colleagues have, but I'm really grateful that you did because it reminded me of another one, and that is the other end of the spectrum from youth. A lot of the senior communities have green teams. I have been on the board of the Willamette View Retirement Community, for example, and they have a green team and would love to be engaged in anything like this. But I was thinking much more generally and from the sort of the higher level of your goals, and I love the visual of the sustainable development with the people, prosperity, planet, mm-hmm. peace, and partnership, because ultimately that's really what this is about. The idea of sustainable development is that we actually have a planet that we could continue to live on, that we could continue to learn from and about, and that we can continue to build loving relationships around that planet. And I think that's really, you know, the message that came home so sadly this weekend was that that isn't happening everywhere and that people are still really frightened and damaged and doing damage. I think the more we can tie that, your work and our work, back to the real need for love around our planet, the real need to nurture people, to care for people, I think your goals are obviously incredibly ambitious.
They're aspirational.
You know, ending hunger, ending poverty, but we have to keep thriving in those directions, striving in those directions, that we really have got to keep sending that message out that sustainability really means that we have a planet that we can live on and that people will be able to continue living, learning, and loving in a place that is beautiful. And So whatever we can do to help, I know we're all on board with you. So thank you very much.
Could we pull up the last slide? We were obviously hitting our last time.
We have it here as well.
Just so for others as well in the room. So if you've written down ideas or you have more you want to share, you have our emails. And our website has a lot more resources on it. I'm sure you're inundated in your emails. But if you want to get the newsletter, it has lots of resources and events. We also would like to be able to, we try the best that we can to do outreach, cross-promote events too. So when you have opportunities, we try to include those so people know what's happening as well. So so thank you. Anything else?
Thank you. I don't see anyone else that has indicated that they'd like to speak. But thank you very much for the information. We appreciate you taking the time to come and share this with you. And also, we really appreciate your good work and hope that we can collaborate on a bunch of other projects as we go forward.
Great. We look forward to that.
Well, I'm not sure how to follow up on how to collaborate. Who do we talk to about that? You guys, follow up. So you'll follow up with us. Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you again. So, item four on the agenda today is the consent agenda. We have three items: the minutes. There were actually more than one for the May 25th council meeting. Resolution number 17-4812 and resolution number 174813. Is there a motion? Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carried and the minutes are adopted. Item five on the agenda are resolutions. The first of those is resolution number 174790. At this time, I'm going to temporarily recess the meeting for the Metro Council and convene the Metro Contract Review Board. Then I'm going to call on Ms. Papsdorf to read the resolution by title only.
Resolution number 17-4790, for the purpose of authorizing an exemption from the competitive bidding procedures and authorizing procurement by request for proposals for the construction of the Willamette Falls Riverwalk.
Okay. And Ms. Gilbertson and Schuster, please, with the report.
Good afternoon, Metro Council President Hughes and members of the Council. I'm Gabi Schuster, Procurement Manager. We are here today to ask the Metro Council for authorization for an alternative procurement method for the construction of the Willamette Falls Riverwalk. The State of Oregon contracting rules, as well as Metro Administrative Contracting Rule 49-0130, require all public improvement projects to be procured by competitive bidding. However, the state rules and also Administrative Rule 49-0620 also permit to procure public improvement projects by a request for a proposal, also known as RFP, using the construction manager general contractor approach, as long as the method is unlikely to encourage favoritism and will likely result in substantial cost savings as well as other benefits to the agency. Given the complexity of this phase of the project, Procurement Services recommends an alternative procurement method for the construction of the Willamette Falls Riverwalk. An RFP provides for a competitive process, and it allows for the general contractor and the designer to work together, which will result in increased collaboration and avoid costly redesign and work change orders. In addition, the RFP process will allow for evaluation of proposals and provide for an overall best value for Metro, as it includes criteria for sustainability, diversity, and also cost. Procurement Services is recommending an RFP process, as we believe this is the most beneficial procurement method to construct the Riverwalk for Metro. And we are ready for your questions.
Have you any questions? I'm not seeing anything light up. Councillor,
take a stab, Mr. President. This is not a question.
Okay. Is that a comment?
It's not my practice to do site visits for matters that are under consideration by the Metro Council, but I had that opportunity last night. thanks to work that my colleague Councillor Collette has been instrumental in the effort to encourage private investment and philanthropy in the work of restoring connections to the falls across the easement that Metro has acquired and was reintroduced to the physical and political and legal complexities that this project faces. We are, after all, on an easement acquired from a private property owner who has underlying property interests in that easement and, of course, abuts the land outside the easement is slated for development, both in the city's plans and investment strategies and the developer's ambitions. We're working on a multi-layered human accretion of development, and that overlays earlier human activity before the arrival of European invaders and colonists, which will have sensitive, we can expect will have sensitive characteristics that we want to protect during excavation and deconstruction and then the ultimate development of the site. We have a internationally impressive team of landscape architects working on that project. They have devised a mix of approaches involving partial deconstruction, planting of live species within developed areas, restoration of historic habitat areas along the river and at the falls. This is going to be a complicated piece of work, and I can't imagine it proceeding without the general contractor construction manager form of project management and development. So that's my two bits. Thanks, Carlotta, for inviting me and others to a sort of sneak peek at both the design and my third visit to the falls and the site. I'm ready to vote.
As stabs go, that was not too bad. I'm going to open the public hearing on this issue and see if there's anyone who wishes to testify in favor or opposed to this resolution. Seeing no one come forward, I'm going to close the public hearing and see if there's any further discussion. Seeing none, I'll ask for a motion.
Move approval.
Second. Moved and seconded, and then ask for a roll call.
Councillor Stacey?
Aye.
Councillor Chase?
Aye.
Councillor Harrington?
Yes.
Councillor Craddock?
Aye.
Councillor Collette?
Yes.
Councillor Dirksen?
Yes.
Council President Hughes?
Yes. Motion carries. I am now going to adjourn the meeting of the Metro Contract Review Board and reconvene the meeting of the Metro Council. I don't know how that felt to you, but
exhausted
that was,
all these
yeah. Running from meeting to meeting just wears me out. So we are now on to ordinances. 6.1, ordinance number 17-1396. Ms. Papstorf, would you read that ordinance by title only?
Ordinance number 17-1396, for the purpose of amending the 2014 Regional Transportation Plan to include the locally preferred alternative of the Powell Division Transit and Development Project.
Do we have a motion?
Move approval.
Second. Moved and seconded.
Councilor Craddock and I both second.
Some joint seconding. Ms. Moss O'Hara, if we have questions, I guess. Do we have questions?
Mr. President.
Yes.
I would suggest that we follow the same procedure that JPACT followed the second time they were prepared to act or were asked to review and then to act on the matter before us now, the Powell Division LPA and a corresponding amendment to the RTP. We have seen a presentation on this, and this is, in effect, a second reading of this matter, and I think we can spare.
Isn't it more than in effect? It is the second reading.
Okay, very good. Then I'm right.
And I just was offering an opportunity in case there were questions. But you made a good argument for why not. But Councillor Collette.
Well, I thought this was an opportunity to comment.
Please.
I just want to say I think this project is absolutely amazing for its public engagement, for the hard work, all the staff, at all the organizations and jurisdictions around the region that how hard you all worked. I'm very happy to support this proposal, and I'm just excited that we're getting it underway. So thank you.
Other comments? Okay. Well, let's have a roll call then.
Councillor Chase?
Aye.
Councillor Harrington?
Yes.
Councillor Craddock?
Aye.
Councillor Collette?
Yes.
Councillor Dirksen?
Yes.
Councillor Stacey?
Aye.
Council President Hughes?
Aye.
Measure passes. Thank you. Good job.
Thanks.
Onward.
Thank you.
Item 6.2 is Ordinance 17.1404. Ms. Papsdorf, could you read that by title only?
Ordinance number 17-1404 for the purpose of amending Metro Code Chapter 9.02, Ballot Measures, Initiatives, and Referendum.
First reading and public hearing for Ordinance 17-1404 took place on Thursday, May 25th. Could I have a motion, please?
Move approval.
Second.
Moved and seconded. We have Ms. Whitney here in case anybody has any questions, but is there council discussion on this matter? I'm not seeing anybody like my thing here. So why don't we go to a roll call?
Councillor Harrington?
Yes.
Councillor Craddock?
Aye.
Councillor Collette?
Yes.
Councillor Dirksen?
Yes.
Councillor Stacey?
Aye.
Councillor Chase?
Aye.
Council President Hughes?
Aye. Motion carries. Item 7 on the agenda is Chief Operating Officer's Communications.
You guys are super efficient today, so I'll try to be as efficient as I possibly can. I know, it's like boom, boom, boom. It's awesome. First of all, I know you got the email about the bond rating. That this week we got a very strong rating on the 2017 hotel tax bonds, AA3, which is very, very strong. I know that you all have responded and said some nice things to the finance department staff, but I would like to do some shout-outs, if you don't mind. To staff from the Office of Metro Attorney, including Allison Keene and Ashley McCarran, great work. Staff from Merck and OCC, especially under the leadership of Scott Cruikshank, Tim Collier, Kathy Rutkowski, I miss her, but her legacy lives on, council office staff, and government affairs and policy development staff, including Andy Shaw, who just walked in this room. So thank you to all of them. I also want to say something nice to all of you. I know it's like write this down, June 1st, 2017. Ms. Bennett said something nice to the council. Some of the reason for this rating, though, is because not only do we have strong financial policies, but we actually adhere to them. We are able to represent to the rating agencies that we do have the reserves that we say that we have, and when we say we're going to set aside contingencies and unappropriated funds to be there in case we have some kind of bad thing happen economically, it's actually true. And it's true because you guys have a fiscal conservative streak in you, too. So thank you all for your discipline. I have worked in jurisdictions where that wasn't always the case, and it's really an honor to work with all of you because you get it. All right, second thing I have, piece of good news. I feel like I'm full of good news today. Multnomah County approved their urban and rural reserves ordinances at their meeting this morning. So we are almost there. I think you all, I don't know if it was unanimous. Does anyone, Roger Gonzalez, do you know it was unanimous?
Oh,
it was
right.
Unanimous. So congratulations to Multnomah County and congratulations to all of you. So the final action is yours, I think you remember, and so I believe it's scheduled for next week and the week after, unless we're not able to. I know. And after that,
this ship.
And after that, we'll do some kind of celebratory exercise. So I don't want to talk about what year it started, but it's been a decade.
Ask the legislature.
I didn't have as much gray hair, and neither did many of you.
10 years.
It's been 10 years since the legislature passed, and it's really, this is really great. So we're not quite done, but we're close. So, all right, and then two other pieces just of interesting information. A reminder that next week on Wednesday, you have a joint work session with the Metropolitan Exposition and Recreation Commission. It's in rooms 121 and 122 in the C Concourse, over at the Oregon Convention Center from 12:30 to 2, but you can get lunch if you'd like to have some informal conversation with your colleagues at 11:45. And then just a little notice that I get from the zoo every year. I thought you'd be interested in that the American Association of Zookeepers in Portland chapter will host the annual Bowling for Rhinos fundraiser at Sunset Lanes on June 10th. So Bowling for Rhinos in our region has raised more than $6.6 million for, I guess that's probably worldwide, for rhino conservation. And you'll know that our zoo has a special connection to rhinos as we've decided that it's one of the species that we have a role in conserving. So if you want to bowl or if you want to donate, I can send you the link so you can email. I'll do that. All right. That's all I have.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I assume the new commissioners will be at this meeting next week. I'm not sure when they...
I think they take office immediately. I believe that they've been invited, and there was some hallway dancing on the third floor because it means we'll have a quorum next week. So I believe that they have been invited, and I assume that that hallway dancing means that they have said that they will indeed be there, so you get a chance to meet them. But I'll let you know on that if it's not the case.
Answer.
And on the Bowling for Rhinos, I just wanted to say I really appreciated that staff came and had a raffle table for us so that we were able to participate in that without being at the event.
Without actually bowling, without embarrassing yourself with a score less than 100.
Or ruining my shoulder.
Yeah, any of that stuff. I understand.
It was really nice.
I haven't bowled since before my rotator cuff tear. I wonder if I still can.
I have never bowled well.
Anyway, Councilor Communications, Councilor Collette.
Well, I'm happy to announce that Saturday, June 3rd, at OMSI from 1 to 5, we will be revealing the lovely, magical, wonderful designs from Snohetta, Carol Mayer Reed, and Dialogue for the new Riverwalk. At Willamette Falls, you can take the Max Orange Line. You can park free at OMSI. I hope to see as many people as possible from the region there. You will be astonished and amazed and amused and baffled and all those wonderful things. It's beautiful. Yes, some of us have seen the sneak previews. So please come.
I'm not supposed to mention it.
You can mention it. It was on, I think it's been on pretty much every TV and radio station since yesterday's big media event. But please come and see it. You will be very excited. We need positive, beautiful things happening in our region, and this is one of the best.
All thanks to you.
Councilor Craddock, yes.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to announce, I'm not sure if this was passed out to everybody, but last week, I received an email from the Levee Ready Columbia and the Multnomah County Drainage District staff that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers fiscal year 2017 work plan does not include the New Start feasibility project, which includes the work that we wanted to do on the Columbia River levee system. But what's interesting, the email said that this is the first year ever that all New START designations were removed from the Corps of Engineers final review by the Office of Management and Budget.
Yeah.
So no New START projects. The Corps will have no New START projects this year. And
wow.
This is just one of the six that were being put forward. So that means I'm not actually sure what the next steps are. I'm not sure if Martha has any other information. We have a Levee Ready meeting this next week. I'll probably learn more about it, but what that means for us. What are our next steps? I know we're collecting information. We're preparing for for this New Start project, but I don't know what that means when the Corps won't be taking this project on.
Could I ask a question?
Yeah.
If I'm recalling this project correctly, I have the thought that what's at risk, we need to do this work because the certification of the levee is due to expire in a certain time frame. So I'm hoping that there's a connection between delaying budget opportunities into the future would subsequently delay the certification decisions as well. Fingers crossed there.
Yeah. I don't know, Martha, if you had any more.
I don't know that either. I mean, I think that we'll know more next week after the committee has a chance to meet. I fear the worst, but
it requires a whole lot more flexibility and real world judgment than I have ever experienced from FEMA. But just saying. Councilor Dirksen.
Actually,
well, mine is Councilor not Kalitny. Necessarily totally related to that, but it is a Corps of Engineers that okay. I forgot to mention, and that is that we have received the final disposition report from, I think they call it a draft final disposition report from the Corps of Engineers on the Willamette Falls locks. And similarly, they didn't say we're not going to spend a penny, but they did say we're going to spend the absolute minimum to secure some habitat improvements that they're doing upstream. We have prepared comments and are asking our partners around the region to also comment. This is really not sufficient funding to get the locks repaired and up and operating and transferred over to a local owner. So we feel it's woefully inadequate, as it's an expression I have heard far too often recently. But we will be submitting comment. Others will be submitting comment. Hopefully we can get the Corps to be a bit more responsive and a bit better partner in before they hand this really important historic and economic resource over to the state of Oregon. We hope they'll at least help us get it in a condition that won't be dangerous or harmful. So.
Thank you. Actually, I have a small dilemma, and I would seek the rest of council's perhaps opinion and guidance. I have a conflict next week. Next Thursday, we are having our annual TSCC hearing. At the same time that is going on, at Portland City Hall, is the Portland Sister City Rose Festival reception. And I've been formally invited to that by the mayor of Portland, and I actually also should be there as a member of the Rosarian Council. So I'm asking the council how they, if me not being here for the hearing would be a negative impact and some advice on opinion, which of these you think my time would best be served at.
We'll still have a quorum of the council.
You should be excused from your duty here so you can perform your chaplaincy and council duties for the Rosarians.
Thank you.
It looks spiffy.
Councilor Arrington.
On Tuesday morning, I had the opportunity to participate in a tour of an upcoming project. There is legislation that was passed by Congress in prior years that's referred to as the North American Conservation Act, NACA. It provides for funding for projects, conservation projects, particularly on U.S. Fish and Wildlife properties. So Wapato Lake out in Washington County brings together the refuge chapter there, but also ties in with the Joint Water Commission and drinking water conveyance for the river, as well as clean water services with the release of treated clean sewerage water into the Tualatin River. So this was a tour with Congresswoman Suzanne Bonamici, hoping for a letter of support for the project. What's interesting about this North American Conservation Act and pursuing these grants is that, unlike our usual grant knowledge, there are very flexible rules with regard to local match. So the metro properties that are in this greater area, as well as the restoration work that has been funded over the year, can be counted towards the required local match, which is there's a 2-to-1 local match requirement. So Jonathan Sauls, one of our scientists, and I participated in the tour, and we told anecdotal stories about the kind of work that we've done in partnership with the other parties that I mentioned. So It was fun, and hopefully the funding will continue.
Great.
So, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Chase.
Oh, just a heads up for council. The Westside Economic Alliance is having a housing summit tomorrow. So Senator Merkley is speaking, Jerry Johnson is presenting some information, and then there are some panels afterwards to talk about some of the issues, including social equity and housing. And so I'm going to be participating on that, one of those panels, and look forward to seeing any of us there. And so if there's any input or ideas for information we'd like to relay at that, and I'm particularly looking to my colleagues from Washington County, just let me know.
Thank you. Councillor Collette?
Oh, sorry.
Just didn't turn yourself off.
Yep.
Councillor Craddock?
Thank you. I do have another comment. Last night was the final open house for the Main Streets on Halsey project. This is one of the projects that came out of the East Metro Connection Plan. And this is the three cities of East Multnomah County, Fair City of Fairview, City of Wood Village, City of Troutdale, that are put to, thanks to a grant from Metro, hired a consultant to look at what might be done to really bring attention to the Halsey corridor that the three cities are aligned. So several action items came out of this. So in many ways, the work is just beginning. But one recommendation was is that there's a lot of opportunities for the three cities to work together to look at some amenities that might bring attention to the Halsey corridor that will not only distinguish the three cities but also make them look like they're together. It'd be one theme. In addition to that, there was a suggestion that there be an economic committee formed to really take a look at what are going to be really focused on next, and then an executive committee. So Mayor Tosru, Mayor Fairview, is taking the lead on this, trying to get the three cities to work together and jointly take a next step, and we'll see how that progresses. I assume that the recommendation that is coming out of this will be possibly, I assume, adopted by resolution by each city. I don't know if that will occur, but really some interesting ideas and suggestions. Edgefield McMinimums plays a big role in this. They have a big section of they own a lot of property along Halsey between Wood Village and Troutdale. They purchased a year or so ago formerly as the Multnomah County Pig Farm. And they have plans to develop that. And so they were very involved in this on what in contributing to what they would like to see happen to Halsey. So it's kind of the beginning of the process, but I really felt that the grant was well used and some really interesting ideas have come out of this.
Councillor Chase.
I'm sorry, I nearly forgot to report back on my duties as the council liaison to the Institute for Metropolitan Studies. Mm-hmm. I'm on their board. We met this morning, and they presented a couple of ideas they're working on. One is the Greater Portland Pulse work and doing a very deep analysis that interactive data and information around housing trends and tools that are being used in local jurisdictions around the region. It's something I think we ought to be tracking closely as our resource department is working towards some other interactive map kind of work. But I think it'll be very informative and helpful information. And I've asked, they're launching in October, so I've asked them to reach out and see where we can schedule them in for MPAC around that time. And then the other area that they're interested in working and engaging is around the Southwest Corridor and identifying a way of tracking some of the equity outcomes over time from that project. I think they're still working conceptually on packaging and putting that together. I think it needs, I gave them some input about how some upfront information that's helpful during the decision-making period now is going to be, would be a nice component of that work. So there's a summary.
Thank you. Anyone else? I guess I would just say in passing that if you have not completed your plans for the summer yet, I would urge you to include London in them. It's the direct flight from Portland to Heathrow is an amazing service, 10 hours there and about the same coming back, hopefully. And if you and it's a nice plane, big 767. Good crew, a good Portland crew, at least in the cabin. And it was a fun trip. And the port, I suppose you all heard the announcement here that we got on the plane, which was that starting, I believe, at the first of next year, Portland, there will also be a direct service to Mexico City by Delta. And there is, the port folks were saying they think there's one more direct foreign service in the offing someplace. We were all mumbling about Paris, but that was just us, I think. I'm not sure there were any port people actually involved in that mumbling. So,
Mr. President, I have to say it's really distinctive that, as far as I know, you don't actually own Delta, and yet here you are using your forum to
promoting their
endorse it.
Yeah, well, those
that's not very presidential.
Those direct foreign flights are really really vital in their total, and there are actually more airlines than Delta that fly them. But
just playing
the opportunity to connect on a nonstop basis to Japan, to Central Europe through Holland, London now. Mexico City will be a great hub for all of Latin America. And so there really literally is not a medium-sized or small-sized airport in the United States that comes close to having the kind of air service that we do in Portland. And I think that will be one of Bill Wyatt's great legacies as he leaves his position to go off into whatever awaits him next. It is a huge economic opportunity for us, and I actually do not receive any under the table payment from any of those folks, other than the fact. And in fact, we just wound up giving them a bit of subsidy by way of my upgrading to a more comfortable seat on my own personal nickel. So I don't feel too badly about that.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Are we having a work session?
We're having a work session immediately after.
Are we doing it from here?
In there?
Oh,
what time is it?
3:30?
In the annex.
Okay, then. We're adjourned.
You know, I'd love to go to London, but I just don't know how I'd be able to squeeze it in between the yachting season and Saint-Tropez.